So Matthew chapter 28, that the Great Commission there, we have Jesus calling his disciples to go to baptize, to teach, making disciples. Now there's actually there, I think I've said this before, but there's actually only one command in this passage. And that command is, as in like there's only one imperative, right? One specific command, that command is to make disciples. However, there are also those, there's also going, teaching, and baptizing. In a sense, they're also part of that command. But there's actually only one specific command. We're called to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching, you might say. Now when you look at that, we understand the going part. So you think about it, we need to go. We send missionaries. We send people out. We go out ourselves, right? And we go and we speak to people and we interact with people. That's the going part. We can see that and we tell them the gospel so that they might hear and understand and listen. We get the teaching part. There's a lot of all kinds of like false teaching out there, and we want people to know, to understand, to grow. And to be deep Christians, not just shallow Christians that are kind of tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. So we get that. But what's with the baptizing part? Maybe we can kind of see in some ways it might be a little bit important, but is it really that important? And to kind of top it off, I suppose, baptism has become a bit of a hotbed issue. Maybe I shouldn't say it has become, but because it's always been a hotbed issue, to be totally honest. But we do tend to steer well away from it because, it's kind of controversial. And when we get into controversial things, it kind of separates Christians. And we struggle with that. In the past, the issue has been, what does baptism do? Or really, I suppose, what is baptism? Although that's still the case today as well. But especially, what does baptism do? And today, usually, the debate is who do we baptize, right? And so I do actually want to cover both those things, as I mentioned. Today, we're kind of looking a little bit at what baptism does, why we baptize. Next time, Lord willing, we will look at the recipients of baptism. But here, with the Great Commission, baptism is one of the central components to the Great Commission. And so it's important. And so we need to understand what it's about. Baptism marks us out as followers of Christ amongst many other things that baptism does. And so I want to look at some of that this evening. Again, I'm probably touching on only a small part of the bigger picture of baptism, but that's what we're going to do today. We want to look at that. Now, I do have 3 points which didn't make it into the bulletin because I wasn't that far by the time the bulletin went out. But those 3 points are basically what baptism is not, what baptism is, and then finally the comfort of baptism. So kind of the negative, what it's not, what it is, and then the comfort that baptism brings. So that's kind of the, I suppose you might say, the application comes at the end, but we need to know those first two, what it's not and what it is, before we can be comforted and encouraged by it. Well, turning to Titus then, to Titus chapter 3, maybe this is obvious, but we need to sometimes state the obvious. Baptism is not a rite, as in R-I-T-E, not a R-I-G-H-T, R-I-T-E, a rite that saves people. It's not a rite that saves people. When you're baptized, are you saved? Or if you're not baptized, are you saved? Or just because you're baptized, are you saved? Or can you be saved without being baptized? And these are kind of questions that we have, and I trust many of us have the answer to that. But that kind of came up a lot, especially thinking about the Roman Catholicism, where baptism is kind of seen as part, at least the channel of the cause of our regeneration. But But the reason I bring that up, because sometimes it creeps into our Reformed circles and Reformed thinking as well, especially when we think about children being baptized and grow up leaving the faith. What do we do with that? We all know that's not really okay that they leave the faith. But they were baptized. Is there still something for them? Is there still some kind of special blessing or something that they get out of that? Or maybe it kind of does help them a little bit? I don't know. Well, I think our passage this morning kind of dispels any kind of mysterious or mystical kind of rite that baptism has, as does the rest of the Bible. Because verse 3 that we get here, this is our problem. We ourselves, we are foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. This is our problem. We've got a massive problem. By nature, this is our problem. Now, often we don't think of ourselves like this, but we need to be reminded that this by nature is who we are. But, that's what verse 4 is, right? But, this is who we were, but, he saved us. What saved us? Who saved us? Not baptism. He saved us. He saved us. Verse 4 tells us who that he is. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. In other words, when Christ came down and was born and lived and died and rose and ascended into heaven here on this earth, that is what Christ has done. When his goodness, his loving kindness came down, our salvation came in and through him and his work. Verse 5, later on in verse 5, according to his mercy, the mercy of God, or verse 7, according to his justifying grace, being justified by his grace, salvation originates and is in Jesus Christ. It originates from the heart of God. It's his kindness, his love, his mercy, his grace. We were headed off in a certain direction, and he came down, as it were, from heaven and cut us off and put us on the right path. It is God who has done it all. It is God's work. He intervened. He rescued us from our hopeless predicament. What I'm saying, and what all of Scripture says, is Jesus Christ saves. Nothing else. No one else. It is his work on the cross. It is the power of God that saves. Now, how do we get that salvation? Again, it's not through baptism, but through faith. A few weeks ago, we looked at that. You know, the channel by where Christ saves, and the channel through which we receive that is faith. We receive it by faith and through faith, nothing else. But the point is, Christ saves. That's why verse 5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, not because we've done something, not because we've gone through the waters of baptism. Not because of our church attendance. Not even because of our right view of baptism. Christ saves. It is not our own work. It is no work of anyone but God. So in other words, we're not saved by baptism. Waters of baptism do not have any kind of mystical, magical powers in themselves to do anything. You might say the power of baptism is not in the person that administers. You know, the minister up there, he's got some sort of, you know, he's a bit holier than the rest of us, and some of his holiness as he administers the water kind of flows into the recipient. No, there's nothing in the person that administers it. There's nothing in the person that's receiving it. baptism isn't a tool for salvation. It is Christ who saves. Christ who saves. That's why in Matthew 28, when we're called to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching and so forth, we don't kind of do the baptism thing to save people. You know, like, well, wherever we go, how about we just kind of keep baptizing people because that'll save them. I trust some of these things are obvious because the only ground of our salvation is the cross of Jesus Christ. The only way to receive that salvation is faith in what he has done on the cross. Baptism does not save anyone. Christ does. Okay, I highlight that and I focus on that because that's what baptism is all about. And that, we'll look at it secondly. What baptism is. Verse 5, he saved us, not by works, and not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This term washing refers to water baptism. At least all the early commentators, even in the very early church already, were saying that that's exactly what it refers to. But it's this idea of washing, of making right, making clean, making new. The washing of regeneration. That's what needs to happen inside of us. Because verse 3 says, this is what you are, and something radical needs to happen. Ephesians 2 puts it quite radically when it says you were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. And dead is dead. There is nothing. This heart of us has nothing with which it can rise from the dead. And so we need to be remade, reborn. Born again, as John 3 reminds us, we've looked at that months ago now with Nicodemus and Jesus and that conversation they had. We need to be born again. We need to be made new. It's about a radical new beginning. The only way we can be made right is this radical new beginning. It's not a cleaning things up and making ourselves look good. You know, you go to a car yard and it's a second-hand car, but it looks like new because it's just all shiny, all the things have been taken out of it, and even the tires, they make them nice and black, and it looks new, but it's not new. Back in the day, I don't think they do it anymore, but we used to have retreads, you know, tires on cars, and they would retread a tire. You know, it's still the old tire, but it's kind of new as well, and so you think it's a new tire, but it's really not a new tire. We need to be completely renewed, not just spruced up, not just retreaded, renewed, regenerated, made alive, a complete washout. We, back on the farm, we used to have to at least once or twice a year, we called it put a bomb through the shed. Now, by that, we didn't really throw a grenade in a cow shed and blow the whole thing up, but it was more you put a really strong alkali wash through all the pipes and all the lines, and then a real strong acid wash through all the pipes. And basically, the idea was that it's completely new. There's not a germ left that can survive that. Just like it was, if not better, than when they first put the whole shed together, all the milk lines together. There's a bomb that goes through and is completely done, completely renewed. And that's what we need. That's what this washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit is. Now, baptism doesn't do this. It doesn't renew us. Baptism doesn't renew us. We've already seen that. Christ does this by the power of the Spirit. But baptism says this. It says what needs to happen. It says this is what you need. Whether it's a little baby that we take up the front there and it looks innocent and cute, this is what this baby needs, a complete renewal, a bomb through him. Say that carefully, of course, you know what a bomb is now, right? Or whether it's an adult who's completely changed their life around, what they need is a complete renewal. Baptism says we need to be completely altered by Christ. Baptism says we need Christ, we need his work on the cross, and we need the Spirit to take that work and to completely change us, to completely make us new. So baptism says we are washed clean, not by ourselves and not by our good deeds and not by the things that we have tried to do, but we've been washed clean, and we need to be washed clean, and we have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, so that my sins are dealt with and the power of the Holy Spirit who now has renewed me, and in that renewal lives inside of me. Now, how does this sign, which baptism points us to, how does that pointing to become a reality? By faith. By faith. We believe and trust that this is what I need. This is what I must grab hold of. And whether that faith is a small faith, as we sometimes call, or whether it is a large faith, that is the faith we need, that we need to be completely renewed. We need to have our sins washed and the Holy Spirit renew us so that we might and live within us. But that's what baptism does, you see. It drives us to the cross again. It doesn't drive us to the right, R-I-T-E. It doesn't drive us to the ceremony. It doesn't drive us to kind of hope for somebody that is really holy that will baptize us, because then it'll be good. Or it doesn't drive us to the water itself as if it's got some magical power. It drives us to the cross of Christ. It's all about what Jesus has done. That's what baptism is. How then does baptism comfort us, thirdly and finally? Of course, ultimately, the Christian life is about the Lord, about God. We are God's people. Our lives are to be lived with him and for him. But when we see who Christ is, and when we see what he has done, it brings great joy and great honor to God as we glorify and praise him for that. But it also brings deep, deep comfort to our lives. As we've been making our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, we've seen so much of that. These truths comfort us. Because these truths, they don't take the gospel and kind of move on, and we get into kind of murky territory. As I've said before, that these truths, these doctrines, basically they look at the gospel and they dig in deeper and deeper, and that's what baptism does as well. It helps us to go deeper and deeper into the gospel, because it's good news. And good news is good news. It's great news. It's beautiful news. It's wonderful news. So when we think about baptism, when we see someone baptized, we'll see this comfort again. When you recall your baptism, you'll be comforted again. Because what does baptism do? It drives us and reminds us of the cross. It reminds us of the cross. It drives us to the cross. Because in our daily lives, what happens? We go back to verse 3, don't we? It's almost like this is a continuous cycle. We go back to our sin. We fall into sin. We don't have to be up out of bed for very long to realize that we've stuffed up again. We've done it again. We've fallen again. We've tripped over again. Whether it's the words that we speak to one another or the words that we don't say that we know we should have said. Whether it's our eyes that have gone to the wrong places. Whether it's our thoughts that have gone where they should never have gone. whether it's our actions toward our siblings, toward our colleagues. We do it again and again. You know, the other day our kids were playing on the back lawn, which in itself is fine, but it had just been kind of lightly raining and it had just been mown. And you know how it goes when you mow the lawn when it's kind of been raining a little bit, and then you mow it without the catcher, you know, so all the it's basically you get all the clippings on top of the lawn as well. So you've probably done it before, you know, you walk over a lawn that's just been cut, maybe the council has just cut it and it's been a bit rainy, and the bottom of your shoes are just green. Well, our children decided that it would be fun to kind of run around without any shoes on and just in their shorts, which is they're always in shorts and no socks, and just, you know, and then just run around on the lawn. And literally from their shorts down, it was pretty much green. And a bit everywhere else as well. And because they didn't just kind of walk and skid around on the lawn, because it's quite fun because it's slippery and wet and stuff like that. But there's all these clippings as well that you can throw at each other, right? And then they come inside. And the horror of that. And then so what do you do? You put them under the shower. Bath kind of doesn't cut it, because then you get all the floaties on the top and it's just a green mess on the top. You gotta have a shower and you try and scrub this stuff off. And in a sense, that's what baptism is, right? Every day we get ourselves green. And every day, as it were, we need to be baptized. Now, don't get me wrong here, but that's what we need to be reminded of, right? The blood of Christ that washes away our sins, the Holy Spirit and His empowerment that renews us and makes us right before Him. So when we fall, and we will, as you walk out, well, as you're sitting in this building, before you walk out, you'll fall again, and we go back to our baptism, because our baptism reminds us and points us to the cross of Christ. This is what Christ did. He did it all, and He did it powerfully, and He said there on the cross, as we saw some time ago, it is finished. It's finished. It's done. The work of redemption has been completed. He conquered, yes, death. He conquered, yes, the grave, but He conquered our sin and His blood. His work is more powerful than any sin we can commit, any green stain that we get on our hearts. Nothing can undo that great, momentous work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing is so great that it can reverse what happened there. So we need to be reminded again and again what baptism is about. It tells us about Jesus. It reminds us, yes, we're sinners, but it reminds us we have a great, great Savior. Someone who's fixed it all for us. It's a great hope. It's our only hope. You know how it sometimes goes, maybe with... I know my children are here, and I do this often with my children, but we do it to ourselves as well. We see somebody doing something wrong, or we see ourselves doing something wrong, and we get annoyed by it. And stop doing that. Do what's right. Isn't that what we do all the time? Isn't that what we do to ourselves? I've got to stop this. I'm going to do better next time. I've said this many times. Sometimes I think I'm bit of a broken record up on the pulpit here. I'll try better next time. I shouldn't have done it. From now on, I won't do it. But you know how it'll go. You'll do it again. And so what do? We don't go to ourselves. We go back. Maybe say we go back to our baptism. In the sense that we think about our baptism and what our baptism represents. We need again the renewing power of Christ and all that He has done. It reminds us not to give up, because not only has Christ washed our sins, He has by His Spirit renewed us, and He lives in us. And so we get depressed about our sin, don't we? We get depressed because we wonder if we're actually making any progress in the Christian life. But we know our baptism reminds us that we've been washed. the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And that's our hope. And we hold on to that. We're not fighting a losing battle, because Christ, by His Spirit, lives in us. We're not slaves to sin. We're slaves to God. We're not owned by sin. We're owned by Christ Himself. Luther saw this. Martin Luther, that is, saw this often, and he would often say things like, you know, he sees his life again, and he said, "But I've been baptized." And he didn't mean there. He broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, partly because of this, right? He didn't mean there, well, you know, the baptism kind of, it does something to us. No, because baptism reminds me of what Christ has done. And when I take hold of that by faith, that is mine. The truth of baptism becomes mine. I am no longer my own, but I belong to another. I've been washed clean by the powerful blood of Christ. I have a glorious Savior that lives in me. It's His work on the cross. That's my focus. Beloved, baptism is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. As long as we get it right. As long as we see what it points us to. And as we take that truth by faith, it becomes ours. Let's pray together. Glorious Heavenly Father, we do not deserve Your grace. Indeed, we are those who are foolish and disobedient and led astray. We do it all the time. We are slaves to our passions and our pleasures so often. We pass our days in envy and malice and hating others. Oh, gracious God, what a blessing it is that we do not need to look at ourselves, but we can look at the cross of Jesus Christ. And may that be true for each soul here gathered this evening. Grant us to look not at ourselves, but at what our baptism reminds us of. And may each heart and soul here and online, may we take hold of this by faith and be changed from glory into glory. Oh Lord, if there are any here or listening to us or following us online, if there are any here that do not believe, that have not grasped hold of this, by the power of Your Spirit, Lord, would you so move their hearts that these truths might become theirs, and that they might go their way rejoicing because of what Jesus has done. Oh Lord, You must do the work. All praise and honor for the work You've done. Please make this a reality for us every day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.